Democrats have suggested that the notes made by President Trump and Vladimir Putin's interpreters should be made public to get a better sense of what went on in their meeting. But there might not have been much to interpret since you don't need to translate kissy noises.
President Trump says he now says he has full faith and support in America's great intelligence agencies. He says he has just as much support as he does for Tiffany's singing career.
I, too, think we're alone now. Paul Ryan says the president must appreciate that Russia is not our ally. Unfortunately, President Trump has trouble viewing Putin as an enemy since he's not a Democrat.
Meghan Markle's father says he thinks his daughter looks terrified in photos. He's crazy. Meghan doesn't look any more terrified than the Queen did after her meeting with Trump.
Scottish citizens expressed anger towards the British government after it was revealed that President Trump's visit cost the country over $5 million. Plus, they're now completely out of blood sausage.
Radio host and former GOP representative Joe Walsh is calling for conservatives to boycott Showtime after he fell for a fake interview by Sacha Baron Cohen. Unfortunately, conservatives won't oblige since Showtime After Dark is there as close as they can get to watching porn.
The Trump Report starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, that's right. Welcome to the Trump Report. It is I, Christian Blatt, joined by Tamara Brown. And back from, I don't even know where you went. It also cost the government $5 million for Scott Moore to travel the world. But welcome back. We're glad to have you.
Good to be back.
Sorry that you have to come back on such a slow news week.
I know.
Not much for us to talk about. So good night, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for being
here.
Anyway, there's so much. There's so much to talk about. And I'm always tempted to start by something that's not one of the big stories.
Trees, and what's the song?
This is called Trees and Animals by Franz Ferdinand. Okay. Not my favorite band, but
we were planning to talk about trees and animals.
Yeah, we're going to talk about trees and animals. Mm-hmm. This song, Trees and Animals, and the name Franz Ferdinand, I did always appreciate that they went mm-hmm. with that name. I just kind of wish that they sounded, you know, more like music that I want to listen to. But anyway, today, nice. President nice. Trump.
Over a certain age.
Decided to, well, I'm very old. I'm kind of a yacht rock guy when it comes down to it. And in any case, it's actually not true. But in any case, President Trump, he took to the airwaves today to, I don't know, as close as it comes to an apology that he's capable of. And I think that, you could just sort of see that apparently we all know that Vladimir Putin pulls Donald Trump's strings. But apparently there's a few strings that are pulled by other people because I don't think he really wanted to go out there. But it was just kind of explain what you have to. And it's so hard to explain because it's so hard to believe that he just went up there and explained that there was a misuse of a double negative. And what he meant to say was that I can't imagine that it wouldn't have been Russia instead of saying I can't see how it would have been Russia.
Right. And thank goodness for that clarity.
I don't know. I mean, I think that everyone in the chat, great to see you, Shareable Texas, glad you're back. Who, by the way, says he needs a drink after this week's news. In any case, I don't know. I'm sure everybody agrees that it seems like kind of a done deal to me. Yeah. We can probably close the book on this.
Like you said, slow day. We're done now.
I mean, unless anyone else has a differing opinion, usually I will go ladies first, but Scott, you've been gone for so long that I will go Scott Moore first. Your thoughts on getting to see President Trump make the... Again, not quite apology, but as close as we're going
to
get.
Yeah, it was actually kind of delicious to see that. And very, 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 very funny as well. Because if people haven't seen, there's a lot of great memes floating around now, too, with a lot of pop culture references and things.
Well, tell me the one you mentioned beforehand.
With Star Wars. Where Darth Vader says, Luke, I'm actually not your father.
Yeah, which that just blew my mind because that sounds like fake news to me, but totally. It must be true. Tamara, did you get to watch it live? Did you plan your whole day around it?
I wanted to. I didn't get to watch it live.
I was going
to
say, because you've got your mom in town, so I hope that you didn't make her like, no, we have to watch this.
She watched it live.
Oh, okay.
She watched it live, but I really would have loved to have seen it, but the reviews are just as gratifying. that clarification of wouldn't instead of wood is pretty hilarious. Like, that's the... Oh, I love that his speechwriters are assuming that we're... Okay. Got it. Yeah, he just... You know what happens? Sometimes you say wouldn't. You say would when you meant wouldn't.
Yeah, I was talking to you guys before we started, and I follow Essie Cupp on Twitter, and she wrote that... So wait a minute. So basically, the White House media team, their whole big plan was to just say he meant to say... wouldn't and make sure we never hire these people again. My favorite part of the non-apology, though, is sort of the could be other people also, you know, that he had to kind of get that in there. It's like, you know, so they tell me it's the Russians, but you know, it could have been some other people. I don't know, ISIS, Arnold Schwarzenegger doing this because he was a bad host of Celebrity Apprentice.
My favorite part is when he said, he said something to the effect of he's acknowledging that Russia interfered in the election, even though it had absolutely no effect on the outcome. Yeah. That was my favorite part. Right.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, you do have to toe the line. Look, out of everything, that part makes sense. You definitely have to put that line in the sand because, like, no, it couldn't have possibly. You can't even give a whiff of that. And I think that... There, so basically, my second favorite part. My first was the could have been somebody else. The other was like, I think that probably clarifies things pretty good by itself, right? You know, he's just like saying like, I don't have to really talk about this again, right?
Yeah.
I think this really did lock everything down. But the best was there. It wasn't just me talking about people pulling the strings. There was some feedback about it. It was reminiscent of a hostage video, you know, but it's like just sort of talking about just praising your captors and how generous they are to you. You know, it's like something his friend Kim Jong-un would get someone to read, basically. Anyway, I think that the pressure to deliver the clarification, I guess, is the appropriate term to call it because it is not apology.
Walk back, maybe?
I honestly think there's only one person who he will listen to when he disagrees with them. And that's Fox and Friends host Brian Kilmeade, who said that he needed to reverse course immediately, but it's correctable. It's still early. He can start by even tweeting something out today. So basically, Brian Kilmeade knows he has a direct line to President Trump. And look, if you lose Fox and Friends, you have lost the country.
I was shocked that Fox... I said this morning, I was like, oh, we got to watch Fox to find out what their spin on this is going to be. I'm shocked that Fox and Friends admitted that... And it's a pleasant... You know, like, seeing Paul Ryan and every other Republican that's saying there's no question that Russia interfered in our election and, you know, obviously... And saying that he shouldn't have said what he said... that's all been great, but to the fact that Fox and Friends acknowledged it, that's shocking.
I think that even Joe Walsh, though, that was the most shocking one to me. Joe Walsh, who's been so hardcore Trump, was like, he's lost me now. I thought that was the biggest one. By the way, Fox and Friends, I was like, okay.
Every time Joe Walsh is in the news, how much do you think the Eagles' Joe Walsh is like, oh, yeah. Come on, really? Again? Know, right? Like, just leave me out of it. I mean, life's been hard.
Yeah.
It's been good for him so far.
I think of that every single time. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting...
No wonder you don't listen to Franz Ferdinand.
There are so many interesting... I don't like the Eagles either. There's so many interesting things about this, but one of which that seems more fascinating is apparently, you know, you get some hushed whispers from people who work in the administration. And there's every indication. It's like, yeah, that is not what he was supposed to go out there and say. This was not what we were supposed to do. But, you know, you hang out for a couple hours. The guy gives you a soccer ball. Maybe he shows you some surveillance videos and photos of times you were in Russia. And, you know, maybe the head of the KGB knows a few people who can dig up dirt. I don't know. Maybe there's a pee video. I don't know. I don't know what there is. But maybe it's just like... Yeah, you make a good point, Putin. I guess I believe you, you know, because God forbid, and I'm stealing this from someone else, and if I could remember who said it, I would give them credit. But it's like, well, let's just assume that, oh, I know who it was. It was actually a fake Sarah Huckabee Sanders, not one that we know, but that regularly calls into the Howard Stern show.
Not the fake news, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah, no, an impressionist who said that who would think that The point was basically that, you know, Putin was just the head of the KGB. Obviously, he can be outsmarted by the guy who was the host of The Apprentice.
Right.
So there's no reason to not trust the head of the KGB. And, you know, look, I'm inclined to side with the KGB when it's appropriate. I'll let you know when that is. but the big point because of this is that it was off message, as they say. Are you surprised, Tamara, that, like, almost everybody just didn't resign this morning? Because, like, look, we just got to – not, and by everybody, I mean, you know, like half of them. Just like I there's no coming away from this.
I'm more surprised that nobody has been announced as fired yet, because I would imagine that in Trump's administration, with in business with him, something goes wrong. Of course, it's entirely his fault, but somebody's head's going to roll for it. So.
Can we fire Kushner over this? This has to be his fault. Yeah, I think that, and, you know, look, it has only been a day, so there is definitely time for the firings, and it's just sort of figuring out whom would be the best person to fire.
Somebody's going to be on the receiving end of the wrath of Trump, baby.
Yeah, right, exactly. Which, we'll talk about baby Trump later, yeah. But you want to talk about a waste of money. But anyway, so there's all of that. And like you said, Scott, it's just too delicious. It's like a smorgasbord or a buffet of all your favorite foods, and you're like, well, where do I start now?
Yeah. It's a deep, mm-hmm. deep bucket of KFC.
Yeah, exactly. Our Scott Brown in the chat says Fox and Friends are President Trump's domestic handlers, and Putin is his foreign handler. So these are where all of his marching orders come from. Look, yeah. I don't dispute that.
No, like I said, it was his annual review with Putin, and, you know, I'm sure Putin also gave the green light to be able to kind of backtrack on everything today to make sure.
Yeah, he got the day where he didn't have to, he didn't have to backtrack.
Yeah.
Putin got to sit in that. And, you know, also John Brennan, former CIA director, accused President Trump of treason and calling for impeachment. And Trump's response was that he's a bad guy, which is kind of his. My point on this, though, is the problem is if this is a treasonable activity and an impeachable offense, would it help more if maybe you weren't the party, you weren't the people, you weren't the boy and girl and person who cry impeachment at every turn? And not saying that there haven't been plenty of impeachable offenses in their mind, but it's like every day it's a reason to impeach him. So does it fall on deaf ears, do you think, Scott?
Well, I think because it's coming from someone who worked for Obama, and that's the only reason. I think it would have more weight, of course, if a major Republican had spoken out about it, because when it comes down to it, as we know, impeachment is really whatever Congress decides impeachment is. There is no clear-cut definition of saying what you had to do to break the law. So in a way, there are a lot of impeachable offenses that Trump has already done if Republicans got behind it and said, yes, we agree with it. But like we've talked about, until that base turns away from him or the economy goes down and that base turns away from him, the Republicans are going to be too afraid to stand up and say anything against him. It's sort of the chicken and the egg situation here right now. So as long as Republicans aren't doing it, it's Democrats, it is going to fall on deaf ears, because they're going to be like, well, of course.
Yeah, and I think that's what today was just the fear of, you know, this. It's not like the entire base was going to turn on him today,
no.
But then this was going to be, of all the people you could side with, you can't side with Boris and Natasha over Moose and Squirrel. You
well,
know?
I mean,
that's something that speaks to
I really did think yesterday this could have been the beginning of the end of his presidency. I really did, because I thought if this keeps getting drilled in and we're going forward and we're getting closer to the midterms and he doesn't say anything to backtrack from this, then yes, that could be something that's slowly going to erode some of those people that might be already on the fence with him, thinking, okay, now he's gone a step too far. And I really thought yesterday could have been hit there, because he really did. But now that he did this backtrack, it's going to get a few people like, oh, well, yeah, of course, that's what he meant.
He didn't mean to say wouldn't. He meant to say wouldn't.
Yeah.
But
give him a break, guys. I've as much as Scott has had his impeachment countdown clock, mm-hmm. and I would, I mean, obviously, what you say makes a lot of sense, but I never really felt that it's actually coming until these past 2 days.
By the way, it's still not coming. It's just you can see how he's capable of creating a situation
right.
where people are like, well, we're going to have to. You know, as bad as the apology was, there's going to be enough people who will just kind of shrug it off. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about Paul Ryan, there's actually a lot of things, one of which is that he's not running for re-election, and yet he's still like so spineless about everything.
Right. I was going to say, he still doesn't
have a spine. If there was anybody who could just go out there, you know, with the fire and the brimstone and everything, look, he's got to think about, I don't know, book deal, cable news host. I have no idea what's next for him. Probably fitness videos. If I had
to yeah, exactly. I was going to say, yeah,
he's gonna, some, you know, 20-minute abs.
Yeah, P90X thing.
Could you imagine? Sorry, I'll just stop you right there. Now, just imagine watching that video where it's Paul Ryan. Anyway,
he's got to be like in the suit and tie still, though. I mean, not even in workout clothes.
See, now I want to. Now I want to see it at least for a few minutes. Yeah, I'm sorry. What were you really going to say before? I just,
American flag.
The tie and the blazer, no shirt. Yes. Yeah. Would wouldn't would wouldn't.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Scott?
No, I was going to say I think he also feels he's got to keep his very slim hold on all the different factions on the Republican Party in the House, and feel that he's got to make sure he keeps them all in order for the next couple months to be able to do what they need to do. Because if he does go too far out on a limb, he's also potentially ruining his own party's chances in the midterm and getting any more legislation done before November. So I think he still doesn't feel like he can have a spine because of that.
I suppose that you're definitely apologizing for Paul Ryan. I just want to put you on record for that. But yes, I do think that's
actually. I don't want to ever apologize for Paul Ryan because, yeah, I think he is completely spineless. But if the thought process is he doesn't want to, because as we already know, the Republicans are a little bit chaotic anyways, and they have such a slim hold on the Senate and whatever they can have for the next couple of months, that he knows if he screws this up, he could downplay, you know, the midterms there and getting people energized to go out and vote.
There was an easy spin to put on all of this, I felt, well, most of this, which is to just talk about your distrust for the intelligence community, because you're like, look, you got a couple people under hearings right now who had a text exchange about how they wanted to get rid of me. So you can point to things like that. You can say, like, I don't trust anybody. That's why I don't trust the intelligence community, because they didn't want me to be president. But there's nowhere even, you know, that's too logical of an explanation.
Well, exactly. If Trump were smarter, I mean, he's just an extremely lucky man. Like, no matter what he does, his base follows him. Time and time again, things should have been, oh, well, that's it. Now he's going,
I know, right?
Time and time again, mm-hmm. No matter what, he's the luckiest man. And if he were actually a little bit smarter, imagine how much more. I mean, like,
right?
What we'd have a wall by now if Trump was just a little bit smarter.
And Mexico and Venezuela would pay for it. Yeah. I don't even know why Venezuela would have. Yeah. But if, honestly, if he were smarter, he would be not president at Mar-a-Lago right now. I'm using air quotes for those listening on iTunes, auditioning contestants for Miss Universe and, you know, having nothing to do with any of this.
No, and exactly.
That's what a smart guy at his age would do, is seriously, just enjoy the money you may or may not still have. You know, you could go out on a party boat with Putin and Kim Jong-un.
As much as you want. You could tweet about how horrible everything is, and if you were president, it'd be so much better, but you weren't, so.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, you're right, Tamara. And his approval ratings could have been so much higher because he's got this great economy that he inherited and that he's just letting roll along. But instead, he has to keep digging himself deeper and deeper into things all the time that the majority are his doing.
When those approval ratings are reported by fake news, it's like a tree that falls in the woods and no one's there, you know? Who knows if it makes sense? There have been memes for a long time that go around. Depending on someone's political leanings, it might be President Obama, where it's just a big smile and miss me yet, and George W. Bush as well, which sort of makes the point where it's like, even if you thought he was bad.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Today was the first day I saw one that actually made me laugh. It is a hysterically laughing Richard Nixon. And he's like, I don't seem so bad, do I? So, right. You know, it's really interesting because you can compile your list of presidents and it's just so different based on the time in which you put the list together.
Well, that's why the list always changes. I mean, that is the truth and why you see someone who might have been ranked lower at one point ends up creeping up higher, because, again, it's all done by different backgrounds and different experiences and looking back at history from different time periods. So yeah, George W. Bush looks amazing now at this point compared to Trump.
And for me, I'm always pulling for James Polk. I hope at one point, just once, I'm glad that Tamara's mom
us Polk heads out there.
Hey, James Polk was actually a good president. I'm thinking more of the Millard Fillmore, you know, the one that had pretty, who they actually compare a lot to Trump, so in a lot of ways.
Well, anyway, there's so much to digest with all this. And by the way, I can't believe Chelsea had to be in court today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like no, you're going to have to miss Christmas because there's going to be no presents for you. Because she might want to talk about it next week, but God only knows what we're going to move on to next week.
It'll be, this will be so in the past by now.
Right. This is not going to just be fake news. It's going to be
old news. Old fake news.
Old fake news. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, we've got Lady Goth is in the chat too, and I just want to give her a shout out because she pointed out in a recent show that, hey, why aren't you pointing out that I'm here? And so there you are. I just wanted to make sure that everybody knows she's there.
Hi, Lady Goth.
Yeah, exactly. We're saying hi to all of our friends. Anyway, President Obama just sort of, setting the tone for being a former president. And, to President George W. Bush's credit, he didn't really speak out directly about Obama. He barely did anything except paint, or occasionally show up at fundraisers or go to an Astros game with his dad. And I think it's nice to see President Obama, he was speaking out very strongly today in South Africa. So there's two reasons why it's nice that he didn't specifically talk about Trump by name. One, he's at an event in South Africa to speak about the 100th anniversary of Nelson Mandela. So you don't really need to sully the occasion by talking about Trump. But then also, it's just a nice, classy move. Regardless of whose party it is, I think it's always good when you find that the president doesn't criticize their direct successor. Maybe after that, the office, they do that. But and so he just sort of spoke up about... He warned that strongman politics are ascendant and shameless politicians double down on lies and that the free press is under attack. I'll take the last part first, which is this thing that I think we find even people who are inclined to like some of Trump's policies, maybe not even like the man, but his policies, when he goes that far and he says that the free press is an enemy of the state, well, it's just like, well, you overplayed your hand. That's the sort of language that I think people who are willing to just sort of look the other way are starting to get bothered by. And I think President Obama is, of course, someone that if you're inclined to like President Trump's policies, you probably weren't a fan of, probably didn't vote for. But at the same time, it's good to keep that part of the debate going. Tamara, what do you think about this idea that President Obama spoke out without really speaking out?
I'm disappointed in Obama.
He started smoking again?
If he were not such a classy person, if he were even just slightly closer to the low road as to Trump, if he were slightly closer to Trump in taking the low road, for the past year and a half, he should just be going, you assholes are buying this.
I know, right?
You're seriously if I were him, I'd put out a blog every morning saying, hey, dummies, hey, really? He should be the fact that I'm disappointed that he's just not letting it fly a little bit more than what he said today.
I wasn't expecting him to, because I saw, and I get it, being president is certainly different than the post-presidency. To some degree, you're a little bit more free to talk. But seeing how he was as president, I didn't think it was going to change now. I'd love to see that from him, but it's not going to happen. I think for the most part, he's kind of going on and letting the record speak for itself to see this is how Trump is. He's not going to take that low road. And like we were talking about with, president's rankings and everything, we just saw that USA Today thing that came out the other day saying who's your favorite president in the last, 30 years or whatever. And Obama was higher than anyone by 2-1, basically. So I think he's basically like, look, I can sit back and people are going to see how good it was for me, and I don't even need to say anything. Let the orange clown ruin it, see what he's going to do, and then people will look back even more fondly on me afterwards without me even having to go there.
I'm stunned that he ranked higher than President Bartlett, but that's all right. I guess that's the sort of the popularity contest.
Was it just the last 30 years?
I believe so. This one was, yeah. So just that, in the past,
so it didn't
you know,
even include that doesn't Kennedy.
That doesn't,
no, it includes,
and that
yeah,
doesn't
was,
include Reagan.
No,
does it
includes Reagan. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I just did some quick math there. Yes. He was in office for yes. about mm-hmm. another like 6 to 8 months after now. But I almost made a bad joke about Reagan. See, I stopped myself. In any case,
it's too soon.
You're. Is it? In any case, Tamara, your point about how you like the idea of President Obama doing a blog or a YouTube channel or something. Maybe the kids like Instagram stories. I don't know. Something like that. But
what's up, haters? It's your boy, Barack.
Yo, it's Barry O in the house. I think that'd be great. Now, what I was thinking of when you said that was, oh, that would be sort of a great role for the person who ran against Trump to just do every morning, just get up and you turn on that camera and you just laugh and laugh and laugh. And then you just see ya. Or, suck it, something like that. But then I'm remembering, oh, she's going to run for president again, so she can't do that. No matter how many times she says she's not going to, every time she says it, I'm just a little more convinced that she definitely wants to run again.
Of course she does.
She could get talked out of it, yeah. But I think right as we talk right now, what is it, July 17, 2018, yeah. she's got a whole garage in Chappaqua filled with Hillary 2020, I'm still with her or something. by the way, maybe new slogan. Just if she does run again, some free advice. And that was a story that was going around last week. I think we talked a little bit about it.
I watched it. You guys surprised me at your everybody's just poking at Hillary and calling her, just making her seem ridiculous.
Well, there's a lot of ridiculous things about her because you feel like she doesn't get the idea that people didn't like her. And the evidence would be who did they vote for instead of her? And what is the qualifications of the person that you chose to vote for over her? When she got leapfrogged by Obama, which is what we talked about last week,
right.
that was her time she should have run. I think that was a good time mm-hmm. where she could have won, I believe, if it was Hillary versus John McCain. I feel like that.
But, oh, yeah.
We were all expecting that election to be right. Hillary versus Rudy Giuliani, yeah. which that seems ridiculous yeah. when you think about it. But, there were simpler. There were crazy times back in the aughts.
Yes,
I'll tell you about it.
Those roaring aughts.
I actually don't think that she's gearing. I think she's aware that – I think the only thing – I think she's yeah. aware of the public opinion. She – it's just her own sort of fulfilling – if you dedicated your entire life to pursuing this one thing and came so close to it, I couldn't give it up either.
I can imagine how
– You don't know what else to do with yourself.
How difficult – exactly, like being retired. I'm using air quotes too for those listening. But, what do you do now when you have – done this whole thing and to think you were there essentially, if it wasn't for the Electoral College, like any other place, you would have won and you would be president, and to think you were right there and you didn't get it, and this was now the second time that you had really done a campaign and the first time Obama and then Trump and then to lose to him, it's got to be very difficult. But I've loved some of her tweets lately because I have felt like she's at least let her personality shine a little bit more.
Actually,
her jabs to Trump,
or the personality of whoever on her staff thinks of those. But the idea that personality is coming, I definitely agree with
allowing that,
yeah.
that to come out a little more, because part of that issue was her always being so controlled and not letting herself be herself, which did turn off a lot of people. So
I would say if she had any inkling to try to run again, now would be the time to start that morning blog where she says whatever the F she wants, because all it could not hurt her. All it would do is be like, you know what? I wasn't quite on Hillary train, but I think I'm digging her, this devil may care, just doing that.
I
say what I want.
She had her time. It's time for somebody new.
No. She didn't. But what I'm saying is she couldn't have done that any time but now, because previously she was taking a legitimate run, but now she's got nothing to lose.
Her message was very safe and very processed through all the handlers. If she were just being honest, I think that
I
would
think
definitely endear her
be
to people.
100% honest to try to flip opinions. If for people who didn't like her, Bernie Bros and what have you, if if she had any inkling to attempt to want to run again at all, which I don't think she does.
I don't either.
But if she did, I think that's what she needs to do right now is just let the shit fly.
R. Scott Brown in the chat says he wants to point out that Hillary got 3 million more votes than Trump. But in reality, those are kind of like nonsense votes because they're states that she was going to win so handily. You know, that's like a little league team that, you know, puts up like 10 runs in the fourth inning before the mercy rule. It's like you can carry California and New York and get all those extra votes. But because of the Electoral College, it doesn't matter. So you needed to be a little bit – you need to spread those votes out a little more. As right, I'm always right. quick to point out, just maybe say Wisconsin out loud once or twice if you're exactly. really that set on not going. You know, and look, it's a valid point that many people went and voted for, but they went and voted for her in a place that she'd already won. It was just sort of like, you know, doubling and tripling down.
Well, and again, I mean, it's you know, going into 2016, but sure. I think it was also a thing where they made the assumption that those states were safe because they had been Democratic for 30 plus years. And so at that point, they're thinking, okay, it's in the bag. That was to their own detriment. I think that was to a lot of people. And, you know, there were a lot of issues there that could have been changed. But the point is, if there was an electoral college and you were just going by the straight vote, he is correct in saying that if any other senator, Congress, governor, anything else that you're running for, most votes win. If it's one vote, if it's 3 million. So the point is, she did carry more votes, even though it didn't count sure. in the big scheme. It still shows that his win was very tenuous and very close, much like George W. Bush's in 2000. And then that... you know, his doubling down on his base is not going to necessarily work for him again when it comes to 2020 if he's still around. To be
right. So the point you're making is that she would have become the next American Idol, but she would yeah. not have gotten into the Rock and Roll Hall yeah. of Fame because yes. the popular vote does not factor nice. Into that.
Exactly.
Thank you. I was yes, really proud of myself for mm-hmm. coming up with that. A lot of yacht rock in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's true.
It's just
a fact.
It's the way it should be. You know, it's funny because over the weekend, I foolishly thought that we were going to spend most of this episode talking about President Trump's trip to the United mm-hmm. Kingdom. And we were going to use Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols. I had it all figured out. And then I was like, even by last night when I had to come up with this episode, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is so like this isn't even the B story. Yeah. It's like the C, D, maybe yeah. E story.
Right, exactly.
But I did want to take some time to talk about, you know, I'm not – not a huge monarchy person. I don't have like a real affinity for Queen Elizabeth. But
I love the Queen.
I did feel so bad for her having to just toddle around next to him. And I was just sort of reminded the way that he was like traipsing around the stage when he was debating Hillary. And, you know, and just and like I'm sure that the protocol is you're not even though she's elderly, you're not supposed to hold her arm and help her walk, or at least I assume.
Yeah.
I'm not faulting him for that because I think you're probably not supposed to. And somebody tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you shouldn't touch the Queen mm-hmm. if you're anyone, really.
Right.
So, but, you know, sort of walk somewhere near her.
Right, exactly.
You know? And I don't know. I mean, that it didn't matter anything. You know, we'll talk about Theresa May and all that, but just like those visuals, it doesn't even, if everything had gone great there, you'd still have those visuals, and that is so much more effective than the stupid Trump balloon that they spent so much money on. The Trump balloon's kind of funny.
The Trump balloon is hilarious, though.
Yes, but when you see how much money they spend, you're like, all right. And, you know, they have...
It could have been a smaller one, yes. to be yeah. fair.
Maybe yeah. they can use it in Thanksgiving parade, and then they can reuse it for Macy's Thanksgiving parade.
Somebody, a group in New Jersey is, like, spending the money to get it brought over yeah. to New Jersey. And I was just like,
great.
That's a lot of money, though. Make your own Trump balloon. What do you need to import Trump balloons? What yeah, are you right. giving away American jobs yes. making yes, a Trump balloon?
Make Trump balloons in America only.
Make Trump balloons.
Tariffs on Trump balloons, yes. so you can't you know import what? Them.
That doesn't surprise me that there aren't tariffs on Trump balloons.
I thought it was hilarious when they replaced him with the balloon and yeah. a lot of the music. That was great.
This was a great
that was
week.
Enough in itself.
This was yeah. a great weekend for social media.
It really
you
was.
Know, you can think it was a bad weekend for the Republic, for democracy, whatever.
Yeah, nope.
But man, for people who make memes, this was great.
It was a great week.
So, you know, at least we have that.
Yeah.
Tamara, your thoughts about the whirlwind UK tour for President Obama. President Trump. Sorry. I was looking down at my notes about the earlier comment.
Freudian slip. Yeah. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that.
Oh, and by the way, thank you for Juliet in the booth for bringing out the Trump alarm. I didn't even notice it there. For those watching on YouTube, you can see. I mean... It's worth a few thousand dollars, but, you know.
So majestic.
It really is.
And the little phone.
It's wow, so great. It come on.
Yeah. I wonder how much just the phone cost, by the way. Anyway, sorry. I wanted attention to make sure we acknowledged the great imagery that Juliet was sharing.
I would have loved to have been. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall.
I would have wanted to have been a Trump balloon on the wall
when Trump and Queen Elizabeth first encountered them each other eye to eye, because I guarantee there was this awkward moment where they both paused and waited for the other one to bow. That's what I was anticipating. But I feel bad for Meghan Markle because of the fact that she's so. I think for her, probably the hardest part about marrying into this family is that she was very vocal about politics and social justice prior to marrying Harry. And so now the fact that if I were her, you know, he's basically coming into her backyard now, and she's not allowed, she can't,
yep.
They have to keep up a decorum. So she's not allowed to voice the opinions that she used to. Mm-hmm. So to just have to sit on it and not be able to be like, I have to put up with this guy. How dare we have to deal with this?
Imagine if there were some loophole where she wasn't allowed to say anything, but she could tweet, you know, because that's like on the playing field that he uses. So I think that that would have been very entertaining. I think that it's a good point. And, you know, I was reading that both Prince Charles and Prince William both declined the opportunity to meet with President Trump.
Good.
I can assume that they've both met him at some point anyway, you know, and it probably wasn't much of a treat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that says a lot. And look, I mean, I'm sure Queen Elizabeth, if she had really not wanted to meet him, I don't know who was going to tell her she had to.
Right.
She's like, oh, I'm sorry. Is your face on the money?
Yeah.
Okay, when your face is on the money, you right. tell me what to do.
Exactly.
Is your face on Canada's money?
Yeah.
And Australia's money? I didn't think so. Well, some of Australia's money. Yeah. But anyway.
Still, I agree. I was kind of disappointed, actually, that she did take the time to meet with him, because she really didn't have to. It was very easy to say, not feeling well.
I mean,
she's 92. Her husband's 97.
Honestly,
she had no
was
reason
it as
to meet
simple
him.
As she just was like, I've met with so many presidents. I don't want to stop the streak now. But then I guess it would have said something if you were just like, I'm good.
I've met enough
presidents. Yep. I don't need to meet the guy who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue now.
Yeah, now is exactly. the point in history where somebody like who has no political power herself. She's specifically a head of state.
Mm-hmm.
I think now is exactly the time in history, since we're all at unsure times, is exactly the time when she should have made that sort of statement, where it's like, nope, I've met with every president in my lifetime, and I'm not meeting with this one.
Well, if she took to...
But I'm not surprised she didn't, because of the fact that she...
I mean, you've probably seen The Crown. You understand. That's not who she is.
I was about to say, like, she is so the upholder of decorum, and probably feels that, you know, she's in the last vestige of doing the proper thing to do, and she's going to do it any time, any day of the week.
Yeah, I think, but you're right. If she had taken to some form of media and spoken out, I mean, you know, she was under a lot of criticism. There was that movie was about, I wish I could remember the name of it, but the movie was about how they needed
the
her
queen.
To talk.
Oh,
yeah,
the queen.
after Princess Diana died.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that was not someone she was particularly fond of, and it just looked really bad. Mm-hmm. So she finally, and so it's like, whatever happens when the queen speaks, you're just like, oh, wait, she's actually talking. Like, what is she saying? Let's listen to it. But I think you're right. More than sensing the importance of that is just you just do the proper thing, which used to be, you know, well, that's the British thing, doing something that you really don't want to, but you're being told you have to. So you do indeed need to do it. Interesting, the sort of standing up there with Theresa May, who President Trump. See, this time I almost said President Bush. I just want to say other presidents.
Right.
You know,
next will be President Nixon,
who has come up already today.
Yeah. President Hillary, perhaps.
I already mentioned one pretend fantasy president when I mentioned President Bartlett. So why not? But I don't know, Scott. I don't know that you would have a particularly high regard for Theresa May, but seeing that, could you just think like, well, what if she had been like, you know what? I don't need to stand here. Seriously. I don't need to listen to this.
Right.
You know? And what about when he said, like, I'm not going to take a question from you. You're fake news. Mm-hmm. If she was like, oh, I would like to take your question.
Right.
You know, I just feel like, look, somebody who things aren't going so well for right now, you know, they're talking about they'd love to do another, like, redo the Brexit vote. Mm-hmm. Just talk about the way you think she handled it and, you know, just a couple of minor ways that maybe it could have, she could have smoothed it over a little bit.
Well, I mean, because it was a tough week for her in British politics in general. A bunch of, you know, the Brexit guy
practically
resigned.
Yeah, the main guy resigned, but like everyone else seems to be, you know, on their way out.
Boris Johnson resigned. Like, so a lot of people did resign and it was kind of a tumultuous week even before Trump arrived. But you're right. It's like, again, I'm not understanding why nobody feels that they can kind of change the script here. Like they've been doing, like he has done. He's blown up every type of protocol and decorum and everything else. So why do other people feel they still have to stay within these lines where he clearly doesn't? Because you're right. If she would have just said one thing like, oh, no, I'd like to take a question from him, it could have changed the entire dynamic there. But again, people again and again and again continue to let him get away with this ridiculousness and allow it to happen. And basically, you know, talking about how to do Brexit, and then he's basically trying to tell her, you know, how it should be handled and everything.
It's and then the huge deal.
What do you
they
call
able
it?
To strike
it's after. It's innate. He's everybody's an enabler. It's yes. enabling behavior. Yes.
Well,
and not standing up, and it's like I just don't understand.
Could this
why
also be an
not.
Instance of, you know, just a British woman who's just like, I'm inherently, it's like actually in my DNA. If you look at it under a microscope, you know, there's like a nicely dressed butler, like pouring tea with white gloves. Like just, I'm too polite to do any of that.
I just wonder like, what would Margaret Thatcher have done in that
literally
similar
my next
situation,
question
like
was going to be, yeah.
You know, here was a woman who was the first woman prime minister. How would she handle that? And would she put up with that? And
I don't think she would have been there.
Where
she would have gone on vacation if she had known the president.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's
such a different dynamic when you see how her relationship was with Reagan and everything, and you see the way she was and kind of called the Iron Lady. I think would she have put up with that crap, or would she have been like, this is absurd? You know. So yeah, I think she had an opportunity there, Theresa May, and she didn't take that opportunity like so many other people.
Tamara, what did you think about President Trump coming over and mansplaining Brexit mm-hmm. to Theresa May about how it should she should really do it?
Clearly, especially when he – my favorite – because Brexit, it's Brexit. Couldn't have said it better myself.
What would have been great was the – you know, follow-up question, President Trump. Do you know what Brexit is short for?
Yeah.
And he would be like, yeah, it's short for – Brexit.
Breakfast.
Yeah, it's like breakfast
biscuit.
Breakfast biscuit. yes, the Brexits are delicious.
A Brexit biscuit.
Yeah.
I heard it served all day. No.
Oh, I wish. And, you know, another thing that should have been a major story but really got pushed way down, you know, sort of flying right in the face of what we led off with and President Trump's comments about trusting Vladimir Putin, Robert Mueller did add 12 Russians to the indictment tally, which we should have like a big tote board in
we
here
should.
As to how many indictments
and,
there
and
are.
And just start like pulling papers back and, like 12, 13, 14, 15 every
and
time.
And we could do something, you know, you could sort of color them in when somebody gets convicted, which we don't have yet as far as I can tell, you know, at least. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's what should say it all, but it almost doesn't matter when you can just go on and talk about how that's fake news. Mm-hmm. And then also
five immunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So speak to that, Tamara, the indictments and the immunities and the fact that you have President Trump literally creating distractions around the world that make people not pay much attention to this.
I'm just waiting for when again, it's just like every news story that comes out about the Mueller investigation. On one hand, it just feels like, you know, the cars that you wind up and you're just ready for it to take off. Like every news headline about who Robert Mueller is subpoenaing. Is that the proper verb, subpoenaing? But it just feels like another little like wind up. Oh, man, it's coming. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait until we take off with whatever he's brewing. You know, it's going to be so good. But then when, you know, Trump just has another. I'm sorry. I said wouldn't. I meant would. I said would. I meant wouldn't or whatever, vice versa. oh, okay, you're fine now. Like, he's just so untouchable that then on the other hand, I'm just like, no, it doesn't matter what Robert Mueller has. He's going to be fine. Like, I don't know.
Go ahead, Scott. Your thoughts on all that.
I, you know, like I've been saying is that nobody knows what he is actually doing. It's all the spin, and that's the thing that we've talked about in the past is that he isn't talking or defending himself while Trump and his surrogates and Giuliani and all the other people are trying to spin and spin and spin in the meantime. But whatever it's going to happen with his report and whenever he's ready to release it, that's going to be the kind of the grand finale of the show, so to speak. So we have no idea what he's gathering and what he's already gathered and where that's going to go. And depending on how it is, I still do believe that it would be detrimental to Trump's presidency, depending on how close it is or what kind of involvement he has. If it's kind of vague or whatever else, there's no direct involvement, then yeah, he's probably going to be okay as far as not being impeached, but then it's going to be up to the voters. But I do think that we really have no idea what he's uncovering and how close it's going to get. And we don't know how long it's going to take. And until it happens, yeah, it is kind of like that feeling of like, oh my God, we're almost there. Something big's going to happen.
But wait. If he had something that was the nail in the coffin, mm-hmm. if he had something right now, wouldn't it come? I mean, wouldn't it just come out?
No, because I think he's got to make sure that everything is completely buttoned up. Because if he does release it too soon before he's ready, then if there's any kind of holes in it, it's going to ruin anything. So he's got to make sure everything is solid mm-hmm. with the case, and he's gone everywhere to be able to interview, and everything's locked up because you can't just come out with it if it's not done yet. And you could still be dealing with peripheral people as well mm-hmm. and what other people's involvement. So he wants to make sure every stone is unturned and everything's covered before he's ready to release his findings. And that's the thing. We have no idea what's there, what's not there. And it's all speculation until that comes out.
Well, we are indeed out of time. As always, it flies when you're having something that resembles fun sometimes. but I'll give one final comment from the chat.
Thank
sort
you.
Of speaking back to Theresa May, our Scott Brown points out that Vladimir Putin is trying to kill people in her country.
Yeah.
There were some more poisonings
yes.
that were very clearly tied to Russia. And, you know, could have been an opportunity to be like, hey, I know you're going to hang out with your boy Putin tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Why don't you ask him why he's killing people in my country? But, you know, that's not who Theresa May is. That's, I don't know.
I thought he was going to say, like, oh, maybe that's why she didn't take an opportunity to be like, yeah, I'll take the question or something. Because that way, maybe she thought that Putin would retaliate.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, I feel like if you're any prime minister, like, I don't think David Cameron would have made that point either. You know, I think mm-hmm. people are just like, let's leave Putin alone. As long as he doesn't try to poison me. And another great image from Juliet of Marionette Trump
yeah.
with puppeteer Putin. Mm-hmm. Anyway, as I said, we are out of time, but thanks so much for everybody who joined us in the chat. If you're watching the archive version after the fact, please comment down below. Mm-hmm. You can like, rate us on iTunes, and you know, subscribe to the Trump Report. Why not? It'll just show up magically. We'll be yes. back, I believe, next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Follow us on Twitter in case there's any scheduling changes at Trump Report ABTV, and you can find me at Christian DMZ. Tamara, where do people find you?
Find me on YouTube at Hey Tamara, and watch me on The Gong Show this Thursday on ABC.
Wait, what? Ooh. The Gong Show?
Yeah.
That's nice. The best plug anyone has ever yes. given on any show I've
that
ever
was,
been on.
That was pretty great.
I can't believe that you're there. I only wish I could one day be the unknown comic from the original Gong Show. And Scott Moore, where do people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SMan80.
All right, and we will see you next week. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.